Thanks for joining us today for our Monday broadcast of Abiding in the Word with Dave Love, Senior Pastor of Calvary Castle Rock. Today we will be continuing our study in Exodus, so let's join Pastor Dave now.
Soon your trials will be over.
So again, you have this Hamas witness here. So, we have all these safeguards, multiple witnesses, penalties against false witnesses, judges to discern the truth, no vigilante justice. The Avengers stay outside the city there, let the judges take care of it. No vigilante justice. Objections have been stated before about the death penalty, saying, well, the system's not fair. More poor minorities die than rich folk. All right. I agree with that. That shouldn't be the case. I say we reform capital punishment. We don't remove it. Secondly, what I won't let you get away with, the poor guy. Oh, I feel so sorry for the poor guy that got killed from capital punishment. Why? Well, because the other nine, rich guys didn't die by the death penalty. Okay, so the injustice is with the nine. It's not with the one. The poor guy died because he murdered someone. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. If you murder someone, you should die. So the right thing happened to the poor guy. The wrong thing has happened to the other nine guys. Okay? But to then take away the death penalty, when on the one instance it actually worked and did the right thing, the other nine is where the injustice is, not with the guy who died. Do you get that? It's so frustrating to me when I have people, well, the system's unfair. It's like, hold on. Who's it unfair to? The poor murderer? It's unfair to the poor murderer? Is that what you're saying? Yes, that is what you're saying. That's dumb. Don't do that. It's unfair to the nine who have money that tie up the system with one appeal after another. That's where it's wrong. Let's reform that. But don't take away the death penalty. Dave, this is all Old Testament stuff. Jesus changed all this at the Sermon on the Mount. Really? Let's go there. Matthew 5. Let's go there. Verse 38. We read Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount saying, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. So he is going to clarify what that means. When we get to that in Exodus, what that is talking about is, it's speaking of equal justice is what that is being spoken of there. It doesn't mean that if you knock out my tooth, I get to punch you in the face until I knock out your tooth. That's not what it means. Okay? That I accidentally, hit your eye and now your eye doesn't work and so now you get to go and pluck out my eye. That is not what it means. It means that there are judges there to do equal justice. So an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth means that if you've had some damage done to you by another person and you lose your eye, the judges get together and they come up with compensation of what that guy needs to pay you, okay, because of what happened there. It doesn't mean that you now get to, take out his eye. That's not what is happening there. It speaks of equal justice. So Jesus is speaking about equal justice here, okay? And the very first example that he talks about here, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek from the other, turn the other to him also. What he is saying there is the same thing. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. No vigilante justice. Because he slapped you, you're going to slap him. Because he hit you, you're going to hit him. He's saying, don't do that. Okay? Don't take vengeance for yourself. And this isn't something where your life is in danger. You were slapped. It's kind of like an insult. It's a one-time thing. It doesn't say here at all, but I tell you not to resist an evil person. For whoever is slapping you, keep turning the other cheek. It doesn't say that. It's a one-time slap. And it's not with a closed fist. You don't have to fear for your life. You don't have to fear that extreme bodily harm is going to happen to you. It was a slap. Don't take vengeance for yourself. I think most of us would agree, but every guy would certainly agree with this. That if you get punched in the face, what do you want to do? You want to punch the other guy in the face, but harder and with more times. Okay? until you feel, okay, justice has been done. That's what we feel. But that's taking personal vengeance. It's not saying you can't defend yourself, that someone's coming after you and he wants to do you great bodily harm. It is a slap. Don't take personal vengeance, is what he is saying there. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. We love God and we love others. Okay? And he's saying, mitigate this issue now. And he's not talking about something that's going to bring you into financial ruin. Okay, somebody wants your shirt. Okay, give them your coat as well. Be done with it. I'm sorry for whatever this misunderstanding is. You might not even think that you're guilty of whatever it is he says that you have done, that he thinks he now deserves your shirt. He's going to say, okay, I'll give you my shirt, and I'm also going to give you a coat. We good? And go on your merry way. All right? That is what it is to love God and to love others. And then he tells you again, whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with them too. And the Romans used to do that. The Romans could then just tap you with their stick, with their staff. And once they do that with their spear or their sword or whatever it is, they tap you, you know that you've just been put into service. And whatever burdens they were carrying, you now have to carry for 1 mile. Jesus says, blow their minds, go 2 miles. That way they don't have to tap someone else up, interrupt somebody else's day. How awesome that is. It shows that no vigilante justice, go the extra mile, give to him who asks from you, and he who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. This is not talking about capital punishment. It's not talking about murder here. It has nothing to do with this issue whatsoever. Okay, what about the woman caught in adultery? She was supposed to be executed for that. Okay, well, let's go over there. Go to John 8. This is one of the reasons why we study the Word of God. What does this mean? What does that word mean? What is going on at the time? What's the background? You know, what is the background of John 8? Jesus on the earth? Is Israel a nation? No, they're not. Israel is not a nation. And because they're not a nation, and instead they serve another nation, Rome, you know what's taken away from them? All the judicial laws that would allow for them to execute someone. They can't do that. See, too much is given, much is required. This is one of the reasons why, as a kid growing up in a Christian home, where your family really showed you Christ, brought you to church, and they weren't hypocrites about it by beating you when you're at home and cussing and swearing, but being here at church, they were all that good person and everything else. But they actually raised you the best that they could, loving God and loving you to know God and through His Son, Jesus Christ. When you go off the rails, oh man, God has a short leash with you. Because too much is given, much is required. You know better. And so the consequences are usually worse. And I pray for this all the time for young people that have come here and have kind of gone their own way and no longer walk with the Lord. I say, Lord, just yank on that leash. Let it be a short leash. And that they would not prosper in anything worldly. Because they know better. Other kids grow up in a family that don't know Christ. They really don't know better. It's one of the reasons why you go party with your friends who don't know Christ and they're having a good old time, but you're not having such a great time. And you're wondering why, you know, that you're not having as good a time as them. And you wonder why you're the one that's caught and got the DUI and your friends don't who drink all the time. God has you on a short leash and you know better. Try as you will not enjoy the world like the world enjoys the world. This is why at this time, Israel has not been a nation the way they're supposed to be a nation. They have not truly been loving God and loving others. They have not truly just worshiped God and not idols. They have not truly done all the things that God says that you're supposed to do. So as you're doing that, when someone rebels against them, yeah, judgment is going to be a lot stricter. Because you know better. When Jesus shows up, it's not like that. Everybody's doing their own thing. The religious leaders, oh my goodness, they're hypocrites. All they care about is the outside. They don't care about the heart. So they're not teaching about that. And so the people don't know about that. And so are the people going to have more of a tendency to sin because they don't know about it? Yeah, they are. And so guess what? This woman caught in adultery, even though she knows adultery is wrong, she sees everybody else doing other things that are supposedly Jews as well. And, you know, and so again, too much is given, much is required. I would submit to you at this time, besides the Pharisees themselves, who are the ones who know the law and aren't really living it, and because of that, the people go astray. And because the people go astray, who does Jesus hold responsible for that? He holds the religious leaders. Have you ever seen Jesus get mad at a prostitute or someone committing adultery or somebody in sin? I never see Jesus get mad at any of them. He gets mad at the religious leaders, calls them a brood of vipers. You know, he gets mad at them. Why? Because they're not leading the people. They are sheep that have gone astray. Why? Because they don't have a shepherd. That's how he looked at the Jewish people. So this is what's in the background as this woman is going to be brought to them. Let's read this here in verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. Isn't that amazing? Scribes and Pharisees. The religious leadership brings this woman caught in adultery. My question to them would be, can I ask you a question? Why haven't you been teaching the people to obey God and what God's word says so these things weren't happening? Why aren't you teaching the people? They're not. And so here's a woman caught in adultery, and then they set her in his midst and said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act." Interesting. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Yeah, Moses in the law. Yeah, Moses in the law said a lot of things. You know, don't have time for it here, but later on, as I told you about when he talked to him about Corban, how when we went over honor your mother and father, how that the people weren't able to do that because they said, "Corban, oh, we dedicated everything that we have to the temple." And Jesus says, you want to talk about traditions of men above God's word? God's word says, honor your mother and father, but the tradition of men have usurped that to where you can't help your mom and dad because you said, oh, everything I own is dedicated to God, so I can't give it to anyone else. You made your traditions more valuable than the word of God. Hey, the word of God says this. Hey, the law of Moses said this. Really? Let's get into it. Do you have 18 hours so I can go through everything that the law of Moses says and what you're not doing correct? How dare them bring that up? And yet they do. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? Well, for one, where's the guy? Where's the dude? Where's the other witnesses, okay, that have seen this happen? Where's the civil authorities that we could bring this before and have this judged properly? Where's all this? Oh, wait, we can't do that anymore. You know why? Because you're not a nation anymore that is run by God. Because of your sin, you went into captivity time and time again, and you're in captivity now because of your sin. And because of your sin and you're in captivity to the Romans, guess what? You're no longer a physical nation. And so you do not get to enforce these laws, because to enforce those laws meant that you're living the way that you're supposed to before God as a nation, and you're not. And so now you can't do this. You can't do this. And so as they're testing him, they might have something in which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. And they continued asking him. He raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." Look, you don't have the right to be able to say who lives and who dies. That was taken away from you. And you don't even have a nation with borders anymore. It now belongs to Rome. You're allowed to exist and kind of do your religion under them, okay? But you don't get to exact laws anymore, all right? You don't get to do that. So let's kind of take care of it this way. Yeah, we have a sinner there. But you know who brought her to me? A sinner. And so he breaks it all down. He says, okay, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. I personally believe when he says that, what he is saying is that, you know, some of you that brought her to me, your sin is that you were with her. So if you're without sin, cast the first stone. Well, everybody knows that your sin or conviction takes over. And again, he stoops down on the ground to write, down and wrote on the ground. And those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you." Jesus did not come to judge, but to save. When he comes the next time, he will judge. Okay? Go and sin no more. It's still sin. No, we don't punish any more of an adulterer by executing him. We don't do that anymore. Well, why do we do that with murder? Because that was given before the law was given. That's why. That's why. And it continues even after the law of Moses. It even continues in the church itself. Go over here to Romans chapter 13. This is certainly after Jesus died, rose from the dead. The church age has begun. Paul's an incredible apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have him say in Romans 13 that there is a governing authority that can execute for murder. And here he says in Romans 13, verses 1, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, from there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same." But look what it says in verse 4. "For he," meaning the government, the governing authorities, "is God's minister to you for good. For if you do evil, be afraid. For he does not," the government, the civil authority, "does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister, an avenger." There's that language. Paul trying to attach that back to the Old Testament there. "To execute wrath on him who practices evil." So three things to notice here. To bear the sword, that speaks of capital punishment. That speaks of death. The sword speaks of death and taking someone's life. The word sword, is when it's used literally, always speaks of death. God is the one who gives government authority to carry out capital punishment. Third thing we notice, avenger is the Old Testament language Paul uses that brings you back to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, it's in all that. All right? In other words, Paul's saying that after the old covenant of the law of Moses, after Jesus has established the church, the new covenant, governments still play a role of implementing capital punishment. They bear the sword, and they alone are the ones that can do that. Now, go back here to chapter 12 of Romans, just right before Romans 13:1. Notice what it says in verse 17. "Repay no one evil for evil." Don't take personal vengeance. "Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men." That's what Jesus was trying to say there in chapter 5. When he said, if somebody wants your tunic, give me your cloak also. If somebody asks you to go a mile, go the extra mile, go the second mile. You know? "Live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge." There's that language again, the avenger. You don't need to be the avenger for yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. "For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord." Leave it up to the courts. Let the judges decide, okay? "Because vengeance is mine, I will repay." How does God repay vengeance on your behalf? Through the court system. That's how, through the court system. But it was wrong, as the verdict came out, it was wrong. Okay, you still give it over to the Lord. Nobody gets away with anything. I want you to know that. Nobody gets away with anything. I used to say that after the OJ trial. You know, nobody gets away with anything. He did not live this stellar life afterwards. And unless he repented, he's not doing well now. Okay? Nobody gets away with anything. in God's economy. Never do. You don't see what's going on in their home life. You don't know what's going on with them personally every day. You have no idea the misery that God has allowed to come their way because the verdict did not go the correct way. You have no idea. On the outside, they might be laughing, look like they're living it up, they're rich, they got away with it. Nobody gets away with anything. Every despot that's ever lived, they seem to live a long life. But how are they doing now? Not too well. You know, every despot that you could think of did so many tragedies here on this world. I understand that. They're not doing good today. See, this is the reason why if you don't believe in God, man, you got a messed up system. How is justice ever going to be served? But if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you believe God created the heavens and the earth, even when unjust things happen here, you know on the other side is where God makes all things right. And when you walk with God and you receive God's son of salvation, Jesus Christ, guess what? Doesn't matter what you go through here on this earth, it's not even worthy to be compared with what you have coming. It's going to be awesome. And it doesn't matter how much you profited here on this earth and denied Christ. Guess what? You have no idea the justice that's coming your way the moment you die and face a righteous God. Nobody gets away with anything. Leave it to God. It's not fair. No, it's not fair here. And you know what? It's not fair on the other side either because you get way more than all the stuff that you went through here. I'm not looking for fair. I'm looking towards my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2, Peter says the same thing. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Whether to the king as supreme or to the governors, as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good, they are God's instrument of being the avenger. They are. Now, we do not have the right as a church to carry out penalties for evildoers, but we do as a church still call sin, sin. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Go over here, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, adultery is taking place in the church. It says in verse 1 of chapter 5, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. Such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles. Those who don't even know God don't do this. What's going on? That a man has his father's wife. Ew. Even the Gentiles don't do that. And yet that's happening in the church. And you're puffed up. Oh, I don't want to judge. You know, I'm that kind of a Christian. Oh, I don't want to judge. I don't want to call sin, sin. You know, and so again, it's truth in love. Okay, it's not just love and you tolerate everything. And it's not just truth that you're cruel with pointing out everything that's wrong. Okay, it's truth in love. And so there's a loving way to be able to go to those people and say, hey, what you're doing is wrong. It's gross. It's disgusting. It's sin. And so you need to repent. Well, who are you to judge me? Well, I'm this person judge you. We're part of the flock here. And guess what? Through the leadership here, you can no longer come here until you repent. We will excommunicate you for doing that. And that's what they do. And that's what Paul says to do. He says, you're puffed up. You're acting so tolerant and loving. And have not mourned, seen the seriousness of this, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you, excommunicated.
Well, that wraps up this Monday edition of Abiding in the Word with Pastor Dave Love. Be sure to join us tomorrow as we dive deeper into our study in the book of Exodus. If you're in Castle Rock or the surrounding area, we'd love to have you visit. You'll find us right near the actual Castle Rock on the corner of 5th and Woodlands. Our weekend services are Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at a new time of 8:30 a.m. as well as 11 a.m. High schoolers will meet during the 8:30 service and junior high students during the 11 a.m. service. Child care is available during all our weekend services. We also have a midweek study on Wednesdays at 6 p.m.
At the same time, our kids ministry runs Awana. And for young adults, our Arise ministry meets every Friday night at 6:30, right here at the church. For more information about us or this radio ministry, please visit our website at calvarycr.com or download our free mobile app from the Apple App Store or Google Play. You can also call the church office at 303-663-2514. We appreciate you spending time with us today. Until our next time together, we encourage you to always be abiding in the Word of God.